Yeah, I had. Yes, I was. It was suggested that I might like to buy some proper clothes so that I didn't look like a student. Especially going up to the senior common room, that was terrifying. But the first time I went up by myself, I plucked up courage. And they had a lovely Persian carpet in the middle, and I tripped on it and fell flat on my face. And I was imagining everybody would look and say, what's she doing here? She's a student. And then I was also a bit nervous because I was teaching some of the students who had been students with me, but either hadn't completed or had failed and were retaking. And I thought, well, they'll hate me. But actually, they reckoned that as I'd managed to pass okay, I might be able to give them the secrets, so it was okay. But for at least 3 years, I was teaching students with whom I had been a student. So, you know, as they moved up. And, so that was slightly strange. But then that was it.
What did you teach when you were a faculty member here?
Oh, everything. Nowadays, the new people say, we've got to get on with our publishing, we won't do any teaching. I think I taught 7 different courses. I taught social and moral philosophy. I taught sociology of religion. Later, I taught special MSc in religion in contemporary Britain, which included stuff on the new religions. I taught sociological theory. I taught, I can't remember. I think I taught some methods classes. What else? Oh, introductory classes, introduction to sociology. I really can't remember, but I had to do quite a lot. They said it would be easy for me because I'd just taken them all. But it's obviously very different if you're teaching a whole course than if you're just concentrating on particular bits.
And over the years, how did your role change?
I got older. I don't know. I mean, as I got promoted, I had more administrative responsibilities. I was Dean of Undergraduate Studies for 3 or 4 years with Darren Dorf, and I enjoyed that very much. I liked working with him, and I felt I was able to do things. Then later I was head of department, conveners, they were called then, and I hated that because everybody blamed you and you had no power to do anything except tell them they had to do some teaching. And every time you tried to balance it out, then the people who didn't want to do any work would complain bitterly, and those who were working would complain if they weren't having to do more. And it was... I didn't enjoy that at all, but I did like being Dean of Undergraduate Studies. That was sort of school-wide, and I quite enjoyed being on some of the committees. You got to know people in different departments then, and I suppose I had some friends in the sociology department, but I also had friends in the government department and... history and other places, anthropology. And I liked it being a social science school. My role changing? I mean, I was always doing a lot of research. I do qualitative research normally, though I have done quantitative big surveys or been part of big pan-European surveys. I developed my own style of teaching so that by the end I was a bit idiosyncratic. I would take students on field trips. We did a lot of that. I'd take them to different religions. And they didn't have to do it, but most of them did. And I'd organise about 20 of those each year. And
what were they like? What was that kind of thing?
They differed a lot. I mean, we went to the older religions. You know, we'd go to a synagogue, and I'd ask a rabbi friend of mine to explain to them about that. We'd go to the London Mosque, the Regent Street Mosque. We went to the London Mosque, the Ahmadiyya Mosque as well. And we went to Church of England services. But we also went to Hare Krishna. We went to the Moonies. We went down to Scientology. And students were a bit nervous about that. We used to go down to East Grinstead, and I'd get them to get the train down, and then I'd pick them up and take them somewhere. But usually we'd do two and might go to the Mormons first, because they were down that direction, or the Anthroposophists, and then go on to have lunch in a cafe at Scientology. And I would have to go backwards and forwards, taking them in my car and dumping them, and I'd say, will you get on with eating while I go and get the next lot? And I came back, and none of them had started eating. I said, why aren't you eating? They said, well, we're waiting for you. And then I realised that I'd shown them a film, I think it was a panorama film, where it was shown how the Scientologists had put a whole lot of maggots through somebody's door or something, and they were afraid that the food would be contaminated or poisoned, so they wanted teacher to eat first. Anyway, we went to lots of those. We went to the Toronto Blessing, a church in Harrow, where they all fell about laughing and things, and then the vicar would come back and the students would come to my house, and he'd talk to them, and they'd send him up over wine and cheese, about 20 of them cramming into my sitting room. So we did things like that, and then I expected them to go to, I think, three of places by themselves and then write a comparison from a sociological point of view. Some of those were brilliant. They were really good. And that counted towards their exams. And I also developed workshops where I do things like they'd do role-playing, then they'd have to change who they were playing. They had to give short lectures on a subject that I'd take out of a hat or they'd pick out of a hat. They had to learn how to chair and talk properly and coherently without notes or just with a few notes, but not to read what they were doing. I'd get them to argue opposite things. So one would say hanging is always wrong and the other one would say hanging is always right. And then they'd turn to the person on the other side and argue the other way. So various things like that I did, which I quite enjoyed, and some of the students did too. And I gave ordinary lectures, classes, tutorials.
So you've talked a bit about what it was like to work with the students and the different sort of ways in which you could teach them. What was it like to work with your other colleagues in sociology?
When I arrived in sociology, there were certain factions who scarcely talked to each other. And you were expected to belong to one of the fiefdoms or to another. And I thought this was a bit silly and didn't really want to belong to either. But my third year tutor happened to be sort of head of one of the factions. And I had a row with him, not very serious. I can't remember what it was all about. And the head of the other faction summoned me and said, I hear you've come to your senses and realised how awful X is. You will come up to the senior dining room with me now and everybody will know that you belong to my fiefdom. He didn't quite put it like that, but damn nearly. And so I said I had another appointment and escaped. So I removed myself from both of them and tried to lead my own life and do my own research. I mean, I wasn't isolated, but the professoriate really were, as individuals, interesting, nice people, but as a group, sociology department has never been very coherent and friendly like some of the other departments, far more so. But there were some I got on with very well. There are very few of them left now. When I walk along the corridor, it's just the emeritus room, and I think there are two still there who were there when I was there. And then there are three, four of us sharing the emeritus room, but we never see each other because I'm almost the only person who goes in. Paul Rock goes in, and sometimes the thing, you know, the username has changed from Barker to Rock. So we know we've been in. We always say we're going to have lunch together, but we never go around to it.
Did you get involved in any staff activities while you were there, like while you were here as a staff member? Did you get any involved in like any sort of like the senior common room or any
yes,
sort of sports?
Yes, I was not sports. Well, I used to take my children down sports day at Malden. They like going on the trampolines. I was chair of the senior common room committee. Yeah, I got involved in those sort of things, various committees. Can't remember what they all were now, but I remember when I was Dean of Undergraduate Studies, I thought it would be a good idea to have somebody who was responsible for disabled students, because there was nothing really. And so I went to Dahrendorf and I said, I thought this was something that the school needed, and he said yes, he thought it was a good idea, and had I any idea about who would be good. So I mentioned somebody, and he paused for a bit and said, yes, she uses the senior common room. And I thought, yes, that in a way defines LSE. You know, there are those who go up to the senior common room and sit with each other and chat over lunch, and there are those who never go up there. And there's a sort of senior common room community. And I was very much part of that. I used to go for my meals up there, and I enjoyed meeting people in different departments there. Oh, another thing that I got involved with at the time of the centenary, we did a cabaret, about four or five of us, perhaps it was five or six. David Starkey, who was with us in those days, was the sort of MC. And then Jeffrey Stern wrote most of the music and the songs. And there was Kenneth Minogue, Mike Redden, all three are dead now. And we did a skit of the 100 years, so we all played different parts. I mean, I started off as Beatrice Webb and had a song with Jeff, All I Want Is a School Somewhere, and various things, songs throughout the ages that we sang. We got into trouble with the school funding department because we had one song called the LSE Foundation, to the tune of the Church's One Foundation, where we were very rude about the foundation. And they were really rather upset about this, so we said that they could write the last verse, which they did, and that was quite fun. And then we sent up all the different directors. John Ashworth, I remember. I.J. Patel, Dahrendorf, they all came. Then we were all sort of revolting students wearing baseball hats. And it was fun. We ran for about five nights. All the alumni came.
So it wasn't just a one-off, it was
Oh, no. Yeah. No, it was. And there was a video, pretty awful video, and recordings and things. Yeah, it was a great event.
And where was that? We
had it in the old theatre. I think we had one performance in the Shaw Library, but mainly in the old theatre. We had several performances in the old theatre. It was sort of, I don't know, it lasted for about an hour and a half or something with all these songs and skits.
Did you draw on your sort of experiences in the theatre to?
Well, I presume so, yes. Yep, I overacted like mad. And my singing voice is strong, if not beautiful.
What do you think for you have been the main challenges of studying and also working at LSE?
Trying to organise my life. Doing too much. I'm still doing too much. I just love the work. And I've done 6 lectures in 6 different countries this year so far, the last few weeks. I'm off to China next week, come back, then go to Germany. And I've sort of always... It sort of became part of my life and my family, especially once the children went to school. I think sort of LSE, there's the variety there, so you can usually find the sort of person that you want to talk to. This isn't challenges, but just finding time to do everything that LSE offered.
As in it's such a stimulating and intellectual environment that it's hard to find time to focus on everything.
Yeah. I'm always running to catch up with myself and never quite succeeding. As I said, I was studying new religious movements or cults or sects, as they're called. And in the mid-80s, I was seeing what seemed to me an awful lot of unnecessary suffering through ignorance and misinformation about the movements. So to cut a long story short, I set up a charity called INFORM, Information Network Focus on Religious Movements. I set it up in North London originally. I got funding from the government and support of the Archbishop of Canterbury, whom I knew slightly. And the government gave me start-up funding, but this created havoc among the anti-cultists, the people who were kidnapping people from cults and doing all sorts of things, talking about brainwashing and what have you. And they objected very strongly, and they wrote letters to the school. Dahrendorf used to forward these to me with a little note saying, here's some more data for you. But I think some of the school were a bit suspicious about me and thought that I was really a Mooney in disguise or something. But anyway, the school invited me to bring INFORM down to the school. And we were kind of part of the school for a bit. And then they wanted 25% overheads, which we just couldn't afford. So we rent rooms. We're in the library at the moment. We've been here for 26 years or something now. So that's something else I've been doing. I always consider it part of my LSE work. But it's the sort of what the in word is impact now, actually using social science methods to get out there and try and give information and help people. We do a lot of work for the government and for the police and social services, worried parents, people like that. So for the last 26 years, 27, 88 I set it up, but I started working at it at 86. So gosh, it's nearly 30 years. But that's been another part of my life. And I'm trying to withdraw from it, but it's difficult.
The next question actually follows on very well from that. It would be what would be the real highlights that you remember of being at LSE, and I assume that your success in starting INFORM would be one of them.
Yeah, I was very proud to be made an honorary fellow. I got an OBE, which is nice. To be sort of recognised, even if you're a bit dubious about it. Various sort of honours and things. academic bodies, a fellow of the British Academy. And those are sort of external things. But I just like it. I get very annoyed with it. I get very irritated. It can be very frustrating, especially when the bureaucracy takes over, and sometimes when you've got your RAE or your REF, it's like the tail wagging the dog. You have to do so much in quantity rather than quality. You have to do performance indicators and I don't know, all these sort of bureaucratic words and things, because we're not trusted just to get on and teach and do research and write. And this is partly because some people didn't. I mean, there were some terrible people who never did any work or any writing or any research. But I think now there's far more of a feeling that you've got to be part of a team, but a team in a way that constrains, I think, rather than individuals doing work and coming together. I never did any research with anybody in the school, but I've done research with people all over the world. But one of the things I liked about LSE was that I was allowed to, and I did. Not really answering your question.
No, that's good. Chips and water.
Yeah, please.
How has campus changed, and how do you feel about the changes as well?
I feel mixed. I mean, it really was very grotty, and it's far more presentable now. I feel we've lost a few ghosts, which is a bit pity. Are you talking about the physical campus? Yes. Bits of it are very nice. I mean, when Houghton Street was open to the public, you were at risk of being run over by taxis every time you crossed, taking your life in your hands, except when there were demos. And everybody was sitting down in Houghton Street, but that didn't happen very often. I sometimes wonder whether the surroundings are now taking up some of the resources that perhaps would have been better spent on subsidising students or even staff. But I don't know. I mean, before, we were obviously spending too little. I remember Bob McKenzie wanted us to move down to somewhere or the other, Canary Wharf, I think it was at one point. And, or did he not want us to? I can't remember. He was involved in the battle in some way or another. And most people were against that because the situation is wonderful. You've got the law courts and Parliament just along the road, and you know, everything's on the verge, cross between the city and the West End. It's a wonderful position. There was talk as well of taking over, what's it called? The place on the embankment, the city, the place where the London Council, County Council used to be. County Hall? Yeah, something like that. County Hall opposite the Houses of Parliament. The Houses of Parliament evidently didn't like the idea.
City Hall.
Yeah, no.
County Hall.
Because it was London County Council before it became the GLC. Anyway, that might have been nice, but there's still enough of the old buildings left. This building, next building, but they're knocking down half of St Clement's, which just went up when I came, I think. They were finishing building that. And it sort of spread out a bit. So it can take quite a long time to get, if you're in the tower and you've got to go to the new academic building or something. Whereas before it was much quicker. But then we've expanded so enormously, something had to happen. and then the one along at the far at southeast end of Lincoln's Inn Fields. I can't remember what that's called. That's sort of way out on a limb. But
Chambers?
No, Lincoln's Inn Chambers. That's in the island. I don't know. Anyway, it's sort of beyond the Royal College of Surgeons. So you don't sort of go there, whereas in the old days you used to go every... What?
32 Lincoln's Inn.
Yeah. So you don't go and you're not sort of so involved, and I think they probably have their own sandwiches or their own canteens and things. So I think the expansion of the school has actually diminished the community to some extent, and the departments being nested more or less means, again, I quite like the mix. But there's undoubtedly improvement. I mean, the lavatories are a lot better. They used to be awful. I gather the men's lavatories were terrible. Of course, I didn't know that firsthand, but the women's weren't much better. I like rooms like this. This is a new table. And next door, I noticed there was another new table. It used to be a sort of square one. But I don't know, that's just sort of kind of nostalgia.
What do you think the future of LSE will look like?
Physically or
just
academically?
Academically, or? Physically, like it's changing, going through a lot of change. What do you think, what would you imagine it would be in the future?
Oh golly, I don't know. I think we'll go on having lots of overseas students. I certainly hope so. I hope we go on having sort of roughly half-half overseas, home. Sometimes I think there are too many overseas so that you see all the Asians together and the Poles all talking together and the Germans and other groups. And We had that back in the 60s and 70s to some extent, except there weren't so many then. I think there were only 3,000 students then, and what are we now, 9, 12? I don't know. Anyway, a lot more. And so you might have to work a bit more at mixing it, half graduate, half undergraduate, half male, half female. It's changed in that there are lots of new institutions which aren't necessarily involved in teaching, which I think is a pity. And in a sense, Inform is one of those. We're not as involved with the school as I would like to be, but we're not used. Since I left, there hasn't been any sociology of religion. Sociology of religion used to be very strong in the sociology department. Now, for some reason, they consider it irrelevant. There's a bit of anthropology, religion, and one or two people who are interested in Islam, but generally speaking, there's not much. Some of the institutions are obviously doing very good work. There was talk about, I think it was Ashworth who introduced at Social Science Park or something, perhaps it was Giddens, I can't remember, but there are advantages of that, but I think having a teaching importance on teaching, I hope that will continue so that we don't just become research-led, sort of a bit remote, or even just graduate like All Souls or something. I think LSE, being situated as it is, centrally in London and centrally in the world, we have people passing through, so we've got new ideas, new challenges coming up the whole time. The difficulty is to keep with them. And I think it'll go on being an exciting place. Some of the people that are here now I find rather juvenile. That shows how old I've got. They're getting all excited about things I got excited about 50 years ago. But generally speaking, I'm impressed with how the school does. It has a sort of thing of its own. I mean, people pretend the governors and the academic board have something to do with it, and they do, but I hope it continues to encourage independence so that people do their own thing, but involving the school as much as possible and sharing it with students. I do quite a lot of travel these days, and sometimes the alumni office asks me to go and speak to people all around the world, and I really enjoy doing that because you meet some very interesting people doing all sorts of interesting things. I was in Brussels a couple of weeks ago talking to the alumni then, and lots of them working for the parliament or associated things, but we go to Japan and you see all sort of businessmen wearing their LSE ties and things. The school's far wider than the campus, and there's a lot of affection for the school from its alumni, and I hope it stays that way. I certainly have a lot of affection for it, however irritated I am with it.
So you've pretty much answered all of the questions that I had.
Good.
Is there anything that you feel that I haven't asked you about or we haven't addressed that you'd like to tell me?
I don't think so.
There's no other stories you want to count?
It's a dangerous thing to ask. My eye keeps crying. I'm having injections put in it. Won't stop weeping. I just think LSE is a wonderful place for learning and teaching and challenging, and I hope it continues. Amen.